Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
Rules without a relationship are ridiculous because young people are not going to just listen to some drill sergeant barking out certain rules.
That's Jonathan McKee, and he has more insight to share today on Focus on the Family. Your host is Focus President Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
Jonathan McKee is one of our favorite experts when it comes to dealing with teens and tweens, and in fact, he is one of our Focus on the Family associates, which means he's a trusted expert working with us on topics that impact families today. Jonathan has over 20 years of youth ministry experience and has written several books related to challenges teens face, including The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. Every parent needs that,
indeed,
I'm telling you.
Yes.
Today and next time, we're going to listen in on one of Jonathan's most popular workshops with lots of details that parents need to know about teens, screens, apps, and much more. And if you're thinking, well, my kid doesn't have a phone or their phone doesn't have apps, stay with us. Jonathan will also talk about music and movie choices. Plus, he'll reveal ways that even the most protected child might be exposed to questionable images. You don't want to miss it.
Here's Jonathan McKee speaking at Castle Oaks Covenant Church, right up the road from us in Castle Rock, Colorado, on Focus on the Family.
You guys, thanks for coming out here. I'm Jonathan McKee, and tonight we're talking about parenting the smartphone generation, parenting Generation Screen, parenting young people who can't pry their eyes from their devices. And man, as you guys know, this isn't just talking about teenagers here. This isn't just talking about tweens. Young people are getting gadgets younger and younger, and we're starting to see a lot of younger people wanting devices. And so this is an issue that's affecting parents of young kids. This is affecting parents of teenagers. This is affecting grandparents. I meet more and more grandparents now who are raising their kids, who are highly involved in this. So this is really exciting. I'm really glad you guys are here so we can dialogue about this and talk a little bit about this. I have three kids of my own, and I tell you, this has been a journey for me because, let me tell you, when my kids were growing up, my kids are now 21, 23, 26. They literally were in high school as the smartphone was being released and as their friends started to get them, and all of a sudden I started to hear the, "Dad, can I have an iPhone? All my friends have an iPhone." And this has just been a funny journey because for me, very often, I remember, you know, I would sit there and I would start talking about, well, here's my concern. And they'd be like, "Well, Dad, you don't know. You didn't have a phone." And I'm like, "What do you mean I didn't have a phone?" I'm like, I had a phone, all right, okay? And the biggest complaint, the funniest thing, and many of you guys remember this too, biggest complaint in our house growing up was, "Get off the phone." So I guess a lot hasn't changed in that aspect. Just what phones we're actually using has actually changed. And that is because now these phones have so much more available to them. And this is one of those things where I think that a lot of parents just even feel overwhelmed because a phone barely is used to actually call people anymore. You know, we really should talk about devices because of what they're able to do. And the crazy thing is here we are, and as we sit here right now, pretty much in America, smartphones have been in our pockets for about 7 years on average, because it was 2012 when America crossed the 50% mark for having these devices in their pockets. And literally when you compare and you look at, and there's these studies, like Common Sense Media just did a study last fall where they're comparing what are the favorite apps young people are using and how, you know, many young people actually have these devices. And back in 2012, only 41% of 12 through 17 year olds had devices. We're now 89%. I mean, think about that. 89%. And this is one of those things where we as parents, a lot of us, we might have heard those regular complaints where we hear our kids come home and be like, "Mom, Dad, all my friends have a phone," right? And now you guys know that you can say, actually, correction, 89% of your friends actually have a phone, right? You know, and that's what you could tell them. Well, this is one of those things where you know, as we dialogue with them about what this is, because I mean, 89%, excuse me, that's a big number. And we're also noticing that kids are getting these devices younger and younger. For example, the average age right now that a young person gets a smartphone is 10.3 years old. And that's just a smartphone. a lot of young people have these other devices before then. And sadly, most of these devices make them to the bedroom every night. And they're used to it. And let's be honest, as parents, sometimes isn't it easy if we're driving and we're on a long journey, you just hand your kid a device and they behave a lot better, right? So that's what we do. So it's no surprise that when they get older, of course, they're still looking at these devices. This is one of the struggles. I'm on campus once a week and constantly principals and teachers, they're dealing with this. They're like, okay, so what do? We allow these in the classroom? Should we actually ban them from the classroom? And it's amazing because when I'm on campus and I see kids before school, they're actually all just sitting there staring at their devices, okay? And then as soon as school starts, they have to pocket those devices. So they go from all of a sudden staring at their devices to put them in their pocket. And all of a sudden it's like the sun comes out and they're all talking with each other. And it's this weird thing that happens. And I think a lot of young people are starting to figure it out. But they're not ready to discard these devices. Oh, no way. These devices are important. They document everything they do in their lives because, hey, I'm having fun. Let's go ahead and let's document this moment and share it for others to see. As a matter of fact, now, whenever we go places, very often we want to, of course, you know, share that moment with others so others can enjoy it. But sadly, this has kind of an interesting side effect, and that is there's all these studies out there that are showing that for a lot of young people, when they stare at a screen, it's within 3 minutes they're kind of depressed because they're like, oh, look, this friend got a new puppy. Oh, look, this friend got a new boyfriend. Oh, look, this friend's on vacation. I don't have a puppy, a new boyfriend, and I'm not on vacation. My life sucks, you know? And so it's amazing how we're starting to see this effect happiness in young people, believe it or not. Now, of course, the younger that people get devices, the earlier they start on this. So when we've got young people starting with selfies and getting used to this, is it no surprise that as they get older, they're also taking selfies? Here's the scary thing. The scary thing is whenever we post this stuff, the thing that happens is there's this waiting period where once we post something, we all do something. We all wait around for that one thing that every single one of us wants, and that is a like. And so here's what's happened from 2012 till now. What we've seen is we've seen an unprecedented rise in depression among teenagers. Not only that, teen suicide, especially among teenage girls, is at an all-time high right now. And every expert who's looking at this stuff and talking about this stuff, from Dr. Gene Twenge, who wrote the book iGen, to, I mean, honestly, across the board, when you talk with American Psychological Association, American Pediatrics, I mean, you constantly, report after report, I don't think there's been a report out there on depression that does not at least mention a smartphone, if not, like Dr. Gene Twenge, think, hey, it is the smartphone. As a matter of fact, the summary of Dr. Gene Twenge's book, iGen, is pretty much this. The more time young people spend on social media, the more depressed they are. It's that simple. And, you know, it's not hard to believe because if you spend some time kind of going through and seeing what young people are posting about themselves, very often there's kind of almost this implied, look at me. This isn't just girls. This is guys as well. It's this kind of, hey, do I measure up? Do you like me? Please like me. Now, we've seen a small number of young people actually go to some kind of extremes to be liked. We've seen them do some crazy stuff, light themselves on fire. There's these crazy challenges that come out that some of them are dangerous, and you hear about them. For example, this picture right here, sadly, this young girl, after she shot this picture way up high like that, she actually fell to her death. But I tell you, by far the most commonly dangerous part of this device is when we allow our identity to be tied to what people think of us on this device. In essence, this device has become this little barometer of self-esteem. It's this little device that tells us exactly how many friends we have, exactly how well we're liked. And so for many, it's become, you know, this thing that we get kind of caught up in and our self-esteem gets tied up in. And that's why so many people are saying, hey guys, you know, don't rush to go get your kids these devices. Don't rush to get your kids, you know, on social media. And as many of them are starting to think about some of the realistic boundaries that are probably good for our kids, it's all because of this. It's because we don't want to see our kids become obsessed with these. And I want to give you 7 parenting practices that I've found have been very helpful for moms, dads, grandparents, people who are raising this next generation. Number 1, connect with your kids face to face. And this is the one that I want to emphasize so much, because what ends up happening at a parent workshop like this is sometimes kind of reflexively what happens is when we come to a parenting workshop like this, maybe we're looking for answers. Maybe we're looking for that perfect boundary. Maybe we have specific questions. Hey, if I leave my boy alone tonight, probably tonight while we're at this parent workshop, what's he doing? He's playing Fortnite. And if I don't put any boundaries on him, he'll play it all night long. That might be our specific question. Our specific question might be, hey, my daughter's on social media on these, you know, I actually told her not to be on certain ones, and she has devices I don't even know about that I forgot that she had, like an old iTouch that I forgot can download apps, and she's using that to get some of these apps that I didn't even know about, and I don't know how to respond. And here's the interesting thing. When it comes to teaching our kids how to use these devices, because think about it, that's really what we want to do. Oh, I assure you, when your kid's 18, when they're in an army barracks or they're in some dorm across the country, they're not going to call you up and ask you if they can download an app. They're going to do it. And the only question you need to ask yourself is, have you prepared them for that day? And you know where values are passed on? You know where these teaching moments happen? When we connect with our kids face to face. I'm not saying that boundaries aren't important. I'm actually today going to list some, here's some of the boundaries that experts talk about. But you know what? Rules without a relationship are ridiculous, because young people are not going to just listen to some drill sergeant barking out certain rules. Many of them are just going to figure it out for themselves. So we need to get with our kids face to face and hang out with them and build a relationship with them, because honestly, it's through these meaningful conversations where very often values are passed on. Think about it. A lot of us think, hey, I want to raise my kid right, so that's why we're strict, right? So we have all these rules so that we can teach them the ways. Teaching is done through conversation, not through curfews, okay? Curfews might be helpful. I'm not saying they aren't. Many of these boundaries are very good. But it's through these times hanging out with our kids that a lot of these values are passed on. Here's the interesting thing. Some of the things that we are concerned about right now, our kids are actually concerned about as well. Pew Research actually did a study where they asked a bunch of teenagers and a bunch of parents their opinion on screen time and so many different things. It was interesting. Teens actually admitted, 65% actually wished they were better able to limit the amount of time they spent on their phone. 69% would like to spend more time socializing face-to-face than online. Now think about that for a second. That's over two-thirds of 12 through 17-year-olds say, man, you know, I'm not ready to throw my device away, but wouldn't it be cool if, you know, I had more face-to-face conversations instead of screen-to-screen conversations? This is an opportunity for us. This is an opportunity for us to make sure that we make that an important part of our parenting.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment.
I was shocked when she gave me the divorce papers.
I was so done. I had reached my breaking point.
I was desperate for a shred of hope, so I called the Hope Restored team at Focus on the Family. They listened to me, and they asked about what was happening in my marriage. They encouraged me and my wife to attend one of their marriage intensives for couples in crisis, and they prayed with us. They helped me believe that my marriage could be saved.
I agreed to go, but was very skeptical that anything could help us. But the whole environment was so safe and non-judgmental. I felt my heart start to open up as we worked with the counselors.
Both of us still have work to do in our marriage, but for the first time in a long time, we have hope again.
Focus on the Family's Hope Restored Marriage Intensive Program has helped thousands of couples who thought that their marriage was over. Find out which program is right for you at hoperestored.com.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
It's funny, I read a bunch of different parenting reports. There's probably some weeks where 20 different studies come across my desk from all kinds of different sources talking about what works and what doesn't work in parenting. Here's the interesting thing. When it comes down to parenting, there's bonding and boundaries. Boundaries, nobody agrees. be more strict, be more lenient. Here's some good rules. But it's funny, whenever somebody shares boundaries, people automatically are like, oh, no, I do it like this. Because everybody disagrees when it comes to boundaries. But you know what's interesting? In every single one of these reports I read, everybody agrees when it comes to bonding. Everybody agrees when it comes to the importance of hanging out with our kids one-on-one and engaging them in meaningful conversations. It's interesting, there was another report written a few thousand years ago. Here it is, Deuteronomy 6:7. Listen to this report about parenting. Hey, don't just impress this on yourself. Impress, and we're talking about what God did for us here. Impress this on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. In other words, talk about this stuff all the time with your kids. So look for these opportunities. In a world where young people constantly have devices in their hands, I encourage you, when they got something else in their hands, like greasy pizza, what a great time to start talking with them because they can't get on their stupid phones because their fingers are greasy, all right? Some of them try. But you know, find these moments. Find these communication arenas where we can do this. Because in the parenting, and basically in today's parenting world, both boundaries and bonding are both important. Well, let me tell you how one thing that can really help you. That is number two, go ahead and write this down. Notice their world. One of the ways that really helps us connect with our kids face to face is when we take the time to enter their world. We're raising a generation who is kind of used to we as adults being on our screens a whole bunch. Matter of fact, if you look at our typical home today in America, you got dad looking at a big screen on the wall, mom scrolling through a social media feed, son up playing some video game, daughter on social media in her bedroom, the toddler's even flipping little digital shapes across the family iPad, and the dog's on the treadmill because no one will walk him, all right? This is the typical home in America. And sadly, young people are growing up realizing, hey, you know what? Everybody's looking at screens. And so we got a lot of young people basically entering this world where they're doing who knows what on their screens at night in their bedroom. How many times do you see kids with headphones on, right? And for a lot of us as parents, it would be good for us to kind of see, hey, what is it? What is it that they're actually, you know, listening to? What are they watching? What apps are they using? And so if you're a mom or dad and you've got kids in the home right now, I encourage you, take notice of what apps they're using. If you see them using an app, you don't have to be a parole officer and say, hey, right now, front and center, I want to see. No, but maybe just like, hey, what is that? Show me. Show me how to use it. I've heard a lot about that Instagram. Tell me about it. I don't know anything about it. You know, what's this TikTok? What is this? Show me. It's good for us to know. And so as we start observing, you know, certain apps that our kids are using or not using, go up and ask them about it. Let me tell you, for a lot of you guys, you're getting an A in this department already because the fact that you are here on a weeknight at a parent workshop, you're probably here because you want to know a little bit more about what's going on in the world of youth culture and what's going on in the life of your kids. And I tell you, one of the things that if you just even start reading a few articles about social media and the effect of social media on young people, you're going to realize what kind of a weird situation we have going on in our country right now. And what that is that we have now created basically a system where young people all want one thing. We all want, you know, more friends, more followers, more likes. So think about this for a quick second. Young people's self-esteem is almost dependent on how many friends they have, right? So now ask yourself, are they going to be more likely to say yes to some anonymous person requesting to be their friend? Well, of course, yeah, because they want more friends. Their self-esteem is based on how many followers they have. You know how many young people I meet now that want to be an Insta celeb? You know, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, it was like firemen, policemen, whatever. I hear so many people, they're like, oh no, I'm going to be a YouTube star. I'm going to be an Insta celeb. And this is kind of now a thing, but it's all based on how many likes and followers you have. So now picture this, picture your daughter. She's there and she gets all of a sudden a request from this guy right here, okay? Who's saying, hey, I'm from this campus across town and I'd like to be your friend. And she thinks, well, this guy seems pretty nice. And so she friends what she thinks is this guy, but really it's this guy. And she has no idea. Yeah, I know that was pretty scary, wasn't it? And see, there's certain apps out there that are really good about this because now we live in a world where all of a sudden young people are starting to see, you know, oh, wait, I can get in trouble with what I post online. I can get in trouble with, well, I know. Why don't I get on one of these apps where what I post just disappears and all my problems will go away? And I tell you, right now, for young people, Snapchat is still the favorite, especially in middle school. As you get to high school, you start to see Insta go up in popularity. But currently, Snapchat is huge. And the interesting thing is Snapchat is this thing that also emerged right around 2012, right as America just, you know, crossed the majority of Americans having social media in their pockets. And it kind of presented itself as this app where, don't worry, everything disappears. So post what you want. Well, I always just ask kids an honest question. I go, oh, it disappears, huh? Does it really disappear? Because every single young person knows that there's very simple ways to grab those images. Matter of fact, most people know that if somebody sends that image and it's going to disappear in 7 seconds or however many seconds, the easiest way to grab that image is to what? Screenshot it. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows that. I mean, so this is one of those things where every expert out there is sitting there saying, hey, you know what? This isn't good. We've got young people who are kind of almost ignorant of the fact that everything you post on the internet could come back to haunt you. And you probably don't want to post anything that your mom, dad, future boss, Jesus could see because this stuff doesn't all disappear. Another concern about Snapchat, for example, is this thing called Snap Maps, which Snap Maps has only been around for, honestly, Snapchat's been around since 2012. Snap Maps has been around a little over a year. And also now you can see all your friends on a map. Now think about this. Remember, we live in a world where young people want more and more friends because that's where their self-esteem, you know, gets from. So they're a little more loose with who's following them. And remember that guy I showed you the picture of? He's now your daughter's friend, right? And now, if they have Snap Maps, and if they opted into Snap Maps, and how many kids have actually gone and go, let me go into my privacy settings and make it to where only my family and my mom can see where I am? Nah, not really. And you might want to think, if your daughter or son has Snapchat, have they opted into Snap Maps? Have they ever set those privacy settings? Because if not, every single one of their friends can right now, you know, pull up the map and see exactly where your son or daughter is right now, actually street address, and pull right up there. So it's good for us to know a little bit about this. You know, so many of our kids want Instagram or are on Instagram. And again, Instagram, I'm not here to tell you all these apps are bad and throw away your phone, it's an evil thing. No, Instagram's great. You might even have a church Instagram account that, you know, your church posts pictures of the last, you know, church potluck, you know. But it would be good for us to have conversations about Instagram because just like you wouldn't throw your kid the car keys when she's 12 years old and say, good luck. In the same way, we shouldn't just hand our kid a phone and be like, good luck. We should actually navigate this with them a little bit and help them. So take notice of what apps they're using. Be involved in their life on this. Also take notice of what they're soaking in, because this same device that is becoming so popular with young people that 89% of 12 through 17-year-olds have with them the smartphone, this device, as you know, has all kinds of cool options to watch movies, to watch TV, to stream shows. If it's not YouTube, they can stream Netflix. A lot of families have Amazon Prime. So this gives them access to all kinds of different entertainment media. What about music? Man, I remember, and talk about how fast things change. When I did parent workshops probably 6 years ago, it was all about what songs kids were downloading. Forget downloading. Now it's all about streaming. We got Spotify, right? And how many kids are like, oh, let me find the clean version of this Bruno Mars song? No, it doesn't happen. they just grab the Bruno Mars song, you know? You don't want to Google those lyrics. But, you know, it's one of those things where young people have access to all this right there in their headphones. We as mom and dad, we should pay attention to this. We should note what they're soaking in. And by the way, don't take my word for this. When I say note what they're soaking in, that's because today's young people are absolutely saturated in entertainment media. And by most studies out there, how many hours exactly? The average for 12 through 17-year-olds is about 9 hours a day.
That is quite an arresting statistic. And Jonathan McKee has been our guest today on Focus on the Family. What an eye-opener for, I think, everybody in the audience and for me as well, Jim.
Yeah, boy, John, this is the kind of information that can make a parent want to remove all forms of media, including a phone, from our kids' lives. But let me just tell you, unless you're moving to a desert island, you need to know how to work with all of these media influences. And Jonathan will cover that next time.
And if you can't join us, then be sure to visit online to get the audio and a copy of Jonathan's book. Our mobile app as well, all of that at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast.
And when you're at the website, look for an extra audio piece from Jonathan on what to do when your child mishandles their media privileges. I know you're going to appreciate those insights. And remember, parents, we're here for you. Focus on the Family is helping over 50,000 parents every month prepare their children for the next stage of life, like these tricky adolescent years. And I want to thank each and every one of you who donate to the ministry. It is so important to equip parents with the tools they need to raise healthy, godly young people. And if you can donate today, I'd like to send you a copy of Jonathan's book for your young person. It's called The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices. It's a great down-to-earth book that will give you an opportunity to talk through all of these points Jonathan is raising. And we'll send that out to you for a donation of any amount as our way of saying thank you.
Make your monthly pledge or one-time gift when you call 800-A-FAMILY, 800-232-6459, or donate online and request Jonathan's book at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ. You're listening to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We'll take a quick break and then return with the second half of this program for your family. Stay tuned.
Take these opportunities to sit down with our kids, and instead of checking up on them, instead, just try to enter their world. Because when you enter their world, they're going to be more responsive to listen and to open up these doors of dialogue with you.
Sounds promising, doesn't it? Well, we'll hear more from Jonathan McKee today on Focus on the Family with your host, Focus President Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
Now, we've got lots to cover from Jonathan today about teaching media discernment to our teens. And if you missed part one yesterday, please get in touch with us. We can send you the entire message on CD or audio download, or you can get the Focus on the Family broadcast app for your smartphone.
And you're going to find all those tools and resources at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. Or call us for details. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family.
So let's get right into it.
Here now is Jonathan McKee speaking at Castle Oaks Covenant Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, on Focus on the Family.
Here's the Kaiser Foundation. Here's what they said. They said, we need to give our full attention to anything that takes up this much space in young people's lives, referring to entertainment media. If young people are soaking in an average of 9 hours a day, yeah, we should probably pay attention. So when it comes to Netflix, we might need to know if our kids are on Netflix, it'd probably be good for us to find out, hey, what are they watching on Netflix? So if we ever go by our daughter's room and she's sitting there and she's streaming something, you know, ask her, say, hey, what are you watching? Parks and Rec. Have you ever seen Parks and Rec? Sit down and watch it with her. Try it and see what it is. Or even better yet, jump on Netflix yourself and click around. Have you ever gone into your profile on Netflix and set the passwords and set the age limits? And if you set the age limits to only appropriate for 14, have you ever looked at some of those shows that are only appropriate for 14-year-olds? innocent shows like Pretty Little Liars? Have you ever watched an episode of that that's appropriate for 14-year-olds, you know? Do you know that on Netflix you can go in and you can click on viewing activity and you can see, in my case, what my wife has been viewing? The Crown, The Crown, The Crown, The Crown, Longmire, The Crown. Anyway, Gilmore Girls. Anyway, but you can actually look at the viewing activity and find out what your kid's been viewing. By the way, this is all if you have a password that they don't know. So moms and dads, quick side note, don't use your birthday, okay? Don't use your anniversary. They know it. I laugh so hard because hanging out with teenagers is one thing. I've been in youth ministry now 25 plus years. I love listening to kids talk about their mom and dad's passwords. They're like, yeah, they have no clue. Their password's 1234, you know? I use it all the time, you know? So it's good for us to know just what are some of these things that our kids are accessing. If we see headphones on their heads, you know, it's a good idea for us to maybe think about, hey, how is it that we can get our kids to listen to music out loud? I literally went to Costco and bought all three of my kids these giant, I don't know what to call them, the 80s reference would be called a boom box, but it's basically a giant docking station now. It's a boom box with a dock for your device that you throw it on there and so it projects their music super loud. And some of my friends were like, Jonathan, why would you buy your kids these loud speakers so they can blast you out of the house? I said, because I know exactly what they're listening to. And so it was funny because I bribed my kids. I basically got these giant docking station boomboxes. I'm like, guess what I got you guys? And they're like, yeah. And as they were literally running up the stairs with their loot, I'm like, by the way, hey, we aren't going to do headphones in the house. You guys just play your music on this. We'll do headphones on trips and other times like that. And they basically all kind of quickly sold their soul and said, yes, because they got the boombox and went upstairs. And I was like, yes, you know, because, and sure enough, I could walk in the room and be like, hey, what's this song? Who is this? Oh, what's he saying? And we could have some dialogues about this. Again, this isn't so we can become parole officers and start monitoring every single thing they're doing. But we need to enter our kids' world and be aware of what it is that they're watching. And yes, let's quickly talk about what they're listening to. One of the favorites for young people, of course, today would be Spotify when it comes to listening to music because it's free. You can make your own playlists. You can follow your friends' playlists. I mean, it's honestly, it's a great app. And my dad, who is now 78 years old, loves Spotify because he follows one of my daughter's country lists. And I follow one of my daughter's country lists. And my other daughter, who hates country, has this list called The Soundtrack of My Life. And I follow that. And it's really cool because now that they're out of the house, we kind of follow each other. And I'm really offended that they don't follow any of my lists. Polka music. No, I'm just kidding. I don't listen. You know, it's one of those things where you can kind of share music and stuff. So it's kind of a fun thing. But when it comes to in the world of teen culture, it's interesting to find out what the top songs that young people are listening to, which by the way, you can jump on and Spotify even has these Billboard Hot 100 charts where you can look at any time and you can find out most of the music that young people are listening to. And you could find out, and if you find that your kids are listening to, you know, to Drake, you know, or, and as you sit there and like read about many of these different artists, you know, Halsey, Post Malone, it's good for us to maybe, if you have no idea who these people are, to look them up. One of the great places to look them up is go to YouTube. And if you look and go, hey, do you know that for 7 weeks in a row this year, there was this Ariana Grande song, you know, called Seven Rings? What was it? Jump on YouTube and click on the video and watch it. And sometimes after about 10 seconds of viewing, you'll sit there and go, oh, and if you chaperone to school dance, you'll be like, so that's where they all learn to dance. There you go. Have you ever chaperoned to school dance? Because if you have, now you know exactly what the school dance's dancing looks like. If you had no idea what somebody said, jump on Google. If you didn't hear what Cardi B said, type in Cardi B lyrics to whatever song it was and go there. And that way you'll be able to read her lyrics. And you'll be able to find out, hey, this girl's really obsessed with telling all about her sexual escapades and describing her anatomy to a T, you know, just in case people don't understand. I mean, talk about sex education right here. Yeah, this is why I'm writing about some of this stuff, talking about, hey, you know, especially when it comes to young men, let's talk about, you know, when every one of their role models is talking about having sex and smoking weed and it's no big deal. Is it really a big deal? What's the Bible say about that? And that's where starting to open up doors of dialogue, talking with young people about this, because this is important. So it's good for us as mom and dads to know Hey, what is it that they're actually listening to in their headphones? Especially in a world where, guess what? Year after year, we're seeing a change in how many minutes of music Americans are listening to. And currently, right now, as of the last Nielsen study, Americans are listening to 4.5 hours a day of music. 4.5 hours a day of music alone. So moms and dads, let's notice their world. Here's the crazy thing. When we step in and notice our kids' world, we need to understand something else and write this down. This is number three. Understand that this culture affects our kids. And the reason I say that is because sometimes if we see this and we observe this about their culture, sometimes the first reaction our kids have is to say, oh, mom, dad, this doesn't affect me, right? We hear them say it all the time. Oh, these influences don't affect me. And sometimes we hear it come out, and we've heard this for decades. I don't listen to the lyrics. I just listen to the beat, right? You know, I don't even know what they're saying. The interesting thing is at school assemblies, when I actually talk, I do school assemblies where I'm talking to young people about sex. And sometimes I will actually play music. And the interesting thing is I will be playing a song and they're all singing along. And then when I stop the song, guess what happens? They're still singing the lyrics that they don't know. But anyway, you know, remember, they don't listen to the lyrics. You know, this stuff is affecting young people big time. We're seeing all the stuff on their devices affect them on when it comes to anxiety, when it comes to depression. And these same kids are saying, this doesn't affect me at all. We're seeing it affect them in all kinds of different ways. Let me touch on just a couple of different ways. How many of you guys have daughters? I've got two daughters. How many of you guys have daughters? Okay, let's talk about the sexualization of the young girls. This is huge. And the American Psychological Association did this study where they actually defined this word sexualization. And the way they defined it is when a person's value comes only from his or her sexual appeal or behavior to the exclusion of other characteristics. What's that mean? Think about this. What this means is, who cares if your daughter is talented, is good at soccer, is a spiritual leader? It doesn't matter. Is she sexy? Does she look good in a bikini? That's all that matters. Do you want me to show you an example of sexualization? Hey, we just saw an example of sexualization. We saw Ariana Grande wearing some weird sparkly lingerie thing crawling around on a countertop. And here's the crazy thing. You guys, Ariana Grande is an amazing singer. She is so talented. She has got a great voice. She's actually funny. She's done some acting. She's all this, but yet she plays the sex card all the time because she knows that works. And sadly, if you're especially in American culture, we've learned, hey, this is a card you must play. And if you play this, they're going to like you a lot more. You got to get that sex appeal. And sadly, a lot of our kids are learning that as well. And by the way, our girls who say, yeah, these influences don't affect me, we're seeing the consequences of these, of sexualization affecting them big time. Now, some might say, well, Jonathan, wait, is this just about girls? How many of you guys have sons? I've got a son. You got sons? You know, I tell you, when it comes to our boys and the lyrics they're listening to, I hear the same thing all the time. Oh, I don't even listen to the lyrics. Well, all the studies are very clear, and there's so many of them, too many to count. Here's one out of the University of Central Florida that I actually wrote about in my book, Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices, and they concluded this very simply. They said, exposure to music containing sexual content is associated with engagement in risky sexual behaviors. The journal Pediatrics actually concluded this, and listen how specific they get. They said teenagers whose devices are full of music with raunchy sexual lyrics, they start having sex sooner than those who prefer other songs. The difference between yesteryear and today is more access, less accountability. More access because we have it coming into our devices, less accountability because those devices follow us into our bedroom at night. And most moms and dads don't even realize what their boys are watching in the middle of the night on those devices. So this is some of the things I talk about in my books, talking to us about how do we have the sex talk with our kids? How do we have that ongoing conversation? Because it's not just one talk, it's communicating with them about this, because in a world full of explicit lies, we need to be talking with them about explicit truth.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment. Hey, this is John Fuller, along with Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife, Erin, to talk about their new podcast.
That's right, John. There's so much inappropriate content on the internet, and we know that that can damage you as an individual, can hurt your spouse, and harm your marriage.
If your marriage has encountered this, you're not alone, and our new podcast will help you get on the road to recovery.
You can find out more about this new podcast at focusonthefamily.com/NPM.
Oh, hey, Mike. Got here as soon as I could. What's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to give you an update on my marriage.
Is it good news?
Yeah. Our marriage is going great right now. I couldn't be happier.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's like a solid 5 out of 10.
Having a marriage that's just okay isn't where couples really want to live. Give yourself and your spouse an all-inclusive weekend where you'll slow your pace and focus on each other. Get more details at focusonthefamily.com/getaway. That's focusonthefamily.com/getaway.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
Some of you are thinking, Jonathan, this is the most depressing parenting workshop I've ever been to in my life. Come on, man. I can't believe the lyrics. I can't believe all this different stuff. And that's why I want to share with you tip number 4. Ready? Don't freak out. And the reason why is because I know right now, I could see it on some of your faces. Some of you guys right now, you want to go home and you want to just, you're not even going to wait. You're going to be like, kids, and you're going to blow a whistle and you're going to line them up like a bunch of Von Trapps. You know, you're just going to, you know, line them up. And there's a millennial set of parents I see in here. They're like, who are Von Trapps? Forget it. You never mind. But you're going to line them all up and you're going to be like, phone now, right? Some of you guys are thinking about that. You're going to go home and you're going to be like, I want to see if they have that Post Malone or Cardi B on their device. I'm going to check that out tonight. And we want to go home and freak out. And I want to just give you one little piece of advice as a guy who has freaked out far too many times. It doesn't work. Okay? Guess what? If they've had this on their device, a couple days isn't going to hurt. I want you to do something. I want you to press the pause button and I want you to sleep on it. Matter of fact, I want you to sleep on it a couple of nights. I want you to think about this. I want you to pray about this. I want you to read. I want you to talk to some friends. This week, while you're just gathering information, if you see your kid playing a video game, instead of going, hey, are you done with your video game time? Have you done your hour yet? You know, you're only allowed an hour on weeknights. Try something different. Try, and it's not even my advice, this is actually from the American Academy of Pediatrics. They use this word all the time, co-view. They say if you want to learn about your kid's world, sit down with them and partake in that entertainment media with them. If they're playing a video game, sit down and go, hey, can I try? You guys, my son and I had some rough moments in our house growing up. Our best moments are when I would sit down and play video games with him. He would open up to me because I entered his world. He'd be like, Dad, so tell me about where you're traveling next. Where are you going to? Whatever. He started talking to me. Sometimes take these opportunities to sit down with our kids and instead of checking up on them, instead, just try to enter their world. Because when you enter their world, they're going to be more responsive to listen and to open up these doors of dialogue with you. Now, some of you are sitting there going, well, Jonathan, does it have to be? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, isn't there a way we can avoid it getting to this where we have to, you know, correct because they're downloading? Yeah, absolutely. And that, I'm glad you asked that question because here we go. Point number 5, wouldn't it be great if we could move from reactive to proactive? Wouldn't it be great if we weren't constantly doing triage and going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I let this go unchecked. It would be neat if we actually moved from reactive to proactive. And what I mean by that is instead of constantly reacting to something that went crazy, what if we were actually proactive about it in the first place? And one way we can do that is by setting helpful boundaries. And by the way, when I talk about these as boundaries, realize boundaries without bonding is useless. We need to have that bonding time, but boundaries can be a big help. So with that in mind, realistic boundaries. Most experts agree that we should limit screen time in some fashion to the point that many of you might remember last year, finally we saw iOS Android come out with these new updates where you can now actually monitor screen time. It's called screen time, and you can enter in time limits and all kinds of cool stuff. See, young people are spending all kinds of time in front of screens. And most of your experts, especially, I tell you, here's where the American Academy of Pediatrics really gets on this when it comes to screen time, talking about all these screen time limits and not even letting young, you know, kids be on screens. Some of you guys might have seen the New York Times articles a while ago that was talking about how the people from the tech worlds, people like this guy, Chris Anderson, former editor of Wired, who said, on a scale between candy and crack cocaine, it's closer to crack cocaine, when he's talking about screen time. This is the thing that so many experts are saying. You guys, matter of fact, a lot of these guys who work in the tech world, their instructions to the nannies when they leave for the day are no screens. Take the kids to the park, play outside, no screens. Because most of the research is saying it's not good to start getting kids on screens at a young age. So screen time limits are very important. And the cool thing is, my guess is the device that your kids have right now, thank goodness, now, because of these upgrades last year, you can go on and you can set these time limits. And they've got all kinds of cool features that you used to have to buy some special software to do, where you can set app limits, downtime, you can enter in your parent passcode that's, you know, a passcode that your kids don't know. You guys, do something random. Walk outside, look at your diagonal house across the street, and use that address. Use something that your kids have no way of guessing, okay? You know, get a good passcode. Do something to limit screen time. Most of your experts say it's good to not let your kids just go endlessly. Now, what that is, you're going to have to figure that out. You know, one person will say, hey, we don't let our kids play video games during the week. Others will say, we let them play just an hour on weeknights, but we let them play multiple hours on the weekends. Others will say, hey, I'm letting them decide because they're going to do it on their own. So you're going to find all across the board. But most experts will say some sort of limits are good. You should probably figure out what those look like in your family. Setting age restrictions. You guys, as at the beginning of this workshop, we talked about the fact that, you know, the average age that a young person gets a smartphone is 10.3 years old. Probably the biggest question I'm asked from people at my parent workshops is, what age should I give my kid a phone? What age is the magic age? Because we live in a world where young people are getting devices 5 years old. And so many experts who are in this are saying, wait, stop giving your kids these devices. So it's interesting when you start finding out what the experts are saying. For example, Jim Steyer, who's the CEO of Common Sense Media, he didn't give his kids smartphones until they started high school. Bill Gates asked the same question. Guess what? When they turned 14 and went to high school. You guys, you'll find that these tech guys who know exactly what's going on these devices, for them, very often the age is high school. And remember, Common Sense Media says Instagram 15 plus. You might want to think about that one. Remember that most experts out there are saying, hey, don't be in a hurry to give your kids these devices. And if your kids already have devices, for sure, every expert's saying, no devices in the bedroom. No devices in the bedroom. Where the National Sleep Foundation is saying, do you realize that if a kid's got their phone in their bedroom at night, that they're going to get over an hour less sleep than a kid who doesn't have their phone in their bedroom? But these are a good idea to have because, you guys, kids are going to absolutely be distracted by these devices in their bedrooms. And pretty much most experts agree, hey, let's not have that. Another good boundary to think about is tech-free zones. This is one of those things where every piece of research out there is saying, hey, find places that are sacred, like the family dinner table, where you just take a break from tech. Call it no tech at the table. We in our house actually had no tech Tuesdays, where after they finished their homework, that was the night where we read and we did without tech. And the kids actually came up with that. So we need to look for these ways to kind of connect. This is the kind of stuff I've written a lot about, of how can we as families find ways to connect face-to-face in a screen-to-screen world. So a lot of this is us being proactive. That might be something like setting boundaries, because we in our house, remember, in the parenting world, bonding and boundaries are both very important. So we can't just raise our kids hoping for the best and hoping that they're going to, you know, govern themselves. Some of these realistic, loving, helpful boundaries are going to help us move from reactive to proactive. Number six, don't expect parental controls to raise your kids. And I follow this up to number five, because the tendency is once we get these helpful boundaries, sometimes we think, cool, my kids are safe now. You know, I got the right porn controls because now I set those controls. I've got my, password in there that they're never going to guess. We're fine now. and just realize that every expert out there is saying, no. It's good to have boundaries, but they are in addition to conversation with your kids. Common Sense Media actually had this interesting article called Five Ways to Block Porn on Your Kids' Devices. And here's how they started that report. Listen to this. They said, here's the thing. You could set all the blockers, filters, and parental controls in the universe, and not only will your kids still see porn, you still have to talk to them about what porn is and why it exists and why it's not for them. Because any expert who's out there knows that, you know, you could try to set all these blocks and whatever, and you know what? Your kid's still going to be in class, and some friend's going to airdrop a nude pic in there, or they can get a text, stuff you can't block. And even if you had ever, even if your kid didn't have a phone, your homeschool kid could go to soccer practice, and their friend's going to walk up and go, hey, check this out. And what are you going to do to prevent that? Are you going to have a drone follow your kid around with laser beams that shoot your kid's friends? That's a pretty good idea. I could probably market that. The thing is, you know, we cannot expect parental controls to raise our kids. You need to raise your kids. And that's why I tell you, one of the things that I learned to talk about if I had a parenting do-over was this, and it's number 7. Don't become so focused on blocking the lies that you forget to talk about truth. Some of us as parents, we make the mistake of becoming so focused on the perfect porn filters instead of talking to our kids about what the Bible says about sex. We live in a world with so many different lies that one of the best ways they're going to recognize those lies if we are tellers of the truth. And yes, it's good to have some good filters out there to block some of this stuff away. It's good to have some of these loving boundaries, but they also need to be hearing the truth. So when they do see some of these distractions, they're not ill-equipped. They know the whole story. They know the truth, so they recognize it, and they recognize the lies when they see it. We got to walk with our kids and talk with them about this stuff. And we as moms and dads, we don't have to have all the answers. You guys might be here and be like, man, I don't know the difference between TikTok and whatever, you know, and a Tic Tac. I mean, which is an app, which is a breath, help, you know? And guess what? If our kids say, Dad, can I have this game? Maybe the best thing to do is be like, you know, well, let's try it. And if your daughter asks you for some app and you don't know anything, the good answer is this. I don't know. Let's check it out together. So we need to look for opportunities to dialogue, to point him towards scripture. Some of you are sitting there saying, Jonathan, what if I don't have one of your books in my hand and I don't know what scripture to go to? Well, let's talk about Wisdom 101 real quick and think about this. You know, when you take English in college, it's English 101 as a freshman, right? Or History 101. So think of Wisdom 101, and you know where you can find Wisdom 101? What book in the Bible has at least 101 chapters? Psalms, okay? So go to Psalms 101, and when you read Psalms 101, you'll find stuff like, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Look for opportunities to talk about this stuff. I'm going to give you some homework as we wrap this up here. During this week, when you're not freaking out, where you're not asking your kids to see their devices today, but you're going to sleep on it for several nights, here's your homework. I want you to talk with your kids this week, and I want you to find out one thing about them that you never knew before. That doesn't mean you're going to line them up like, you know, you're some parole officer and start quizzing them questions. You know, all right, I want to know, what's your best friend's name? Brian, huh? Is that with a Y or an I? You know, no, that's not what we want. No. I'm talking about enter their world. Look for opportunities to talk about this stuff.
A really appropriate ending to the message from Jonathan McKee for this episode of Focus on the Family.
Boy, John, I have to say, I really appreciate Jonathan's expertise in this area and his heart as a dad. Mm-hmm. He's got that great combination of love and limits that children of all ages need from a parent. And I'm sure many of you are itching to fix what you might see as a problem in your child's life today. But remember Jonathan's advice to just gently get to know a little bit more about your child and what's going on in their world right now. Ease your way into their orbit. Play a video game or explore an app with them and get those conversations started. And while you're laying that groundwork, we can send you a copy of Jonathan's book written directly to your teenager called The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices, and you can walk through it with your child when it arrives.
You can donate online and request that excellent guidebook at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast.
And John, I'd like to make Jonathan's book available for a donation of any amount so that everyone who needs it can get a copy. It'll be our thank you gift to you when you support the work of Focus on the Family, helping families around the world thrive in Christ.
And when you're online to make that donation, be sure to look for the extra audio we have from Jonathan about what to do when your child mishandles their media privileges. It really is some good stuff for you. So again, the website, focusonthefamily.com/broadcast, or call if you'd like, 800, the letter A, and the word family. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us today for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.